Good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode 95 of the Weekly Wind Down. Today, we are joined by Bold Strokes author Fiona Riley. Hi, Fiona.
Hey.
So we're going to get her drunk. We're going to go through your questions, and we're going to hear about what upcoming release she has. But before we get started, I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I am Fiona, the guest.
Yay!
Okay, so tonight I departed from wine. I am drinking Evil Genius, which is out of Philly, and I'm drinking an India Pale Ale called Stacy's Mom, because how could I not buy it? Yeah.
You got it going on?
It does. Stacy's Mom got it going on? Do your guys' moms have it going on? It says it's an explosive aroma of tropical lemon, peach, and mango. It is not. It tastes like a pale ale, but it's good. I'm enjoying it, but nothing's exploding in my mouth. I'm definitely not getting any lemon, peach, or mango. Maybe you have to put Pop Rocks in with it. I don't... Maybe there's directions I didn't see. Yeah, maybe I'm missing something.
Can I make those anymore?
Yes.
So yeah, it's good. It's 7.5% alcohol, which is nice. So this should only take me two or three and I'll be feeling all right, unlike Stacy's wine cooler, but we'll get to that.
I'm drinking Dominant 7. It's a red blend from California, 2016. It says, looking for a wine that hits all the right notes, inspired by the strong, forceful tone of the Dominant 7th core. Dominant 7 red blend is smooth and supple with velvety blackberry and cherry flavors that harmonize with notes of vanilla and mocha. And yeah, I agree with Jax. I don't taste any of that, but it's a nice red blend.
Mocha's not exploding in your mouth?
No.
Womp womp. Who's Mocha?
Right. He has no manners. Did I make you spit your wine out?
No.
Oh, rude.
You made her Mocha all over her keyboard.
We're adults. Okay, I am drinking not a wine cooler. I am drinking this Ace Berry Craft Cider Rosé that I got at Trader Joe's, because it's a berry craft cider.
Oh, okay.
It sounded good, and guess what? It tastes good, so.
How much alcohol is it having it?
5%.
Wine cooler. It's a wine cooler. It's either a wine cooler or it's Coors Light. Which one do you want it to be?
Oh, geez. Zima.
Is it a wine cooler?
No, it's in like a beer thing, because it's a hard cider.
It's 100. Okay. We're going to give it to you. We're just going to.
Thank you. I decided that I like ciders, especially. I'm going to try and find one at some point that has more alcohol. But a pineapple one, if you guys haven't had pineapple hard cider, that shit is amazing.
I don't do ciders.
Who's fighting? Are we already fighting, aren't we?
We do this.
It's not you, it's us.
Fiona, what are you drinking?
Oh, so I decided, since it's my first real venture into alcohol for a couple of weeks, because I'm a new mom, that I am having a watermelon margarita.
Wow. Ooh. Oh.
Self shook. I shook it up. Now, look at this. I brought you my fancy shaker.
Oh, she even brought the came prepared. I like
it. There's at least three there.
You are doing it up big.
I bet you it has more alcohol than 5%, too.
I bet you it does.
See, you fit right in.
I'm from Boston. You know how to drink. I'm part Irish.
Okay, so we will tell everyone, we know the Mueller report came out today. We know. But we're going to talk about it next week. So we didn't want to rush through it and not be able to cover all of our bases and all of the idiosyncrasies that are going to go along with the giant shit show in the Oval Office that is unfolding. And I can't wait till next week.
Oh, but Not even gonna have wine. I'm just gonna have popcorn.
Don't rush through this or anything.
No, that's why we wanted to. We didn't want to do it this week because we wanted to take time to spend with you. So we didn't want to be rushing through or make people listen to us for 3 hours. So, Fiona, why don't you tell us about your book?
So my most recent release is Media Darling, and it's kind of it's a little bit of a departure. It's a longer book than I've written before, and it's about a celebrity, Emerson Sterling, who has a secret, and she has been trying desperately to keep a secret secretive, and she wants to make sure no one finds out about it, but she sort of got herself involved with a castmate, and it didn't work out well. And the castmate is currently dragging her in the media. And because she doesn't want her secret to come out, she's not fighting back. And it's getting worse and worse to the point that the studio that's releasing this movie that she's been working on, that's supposed to change her whole life, is really getting panicky. And she is getting more and more reclusive, and she's getting more depressed, and she's sort of pulling back and getting absolutely trounced in the media. And one at the award ceremony where she's attending, the first kind of push for this new like promotion of the movie that's coming out, she's confronted by her ex-girlfriend, who is the other star who was on the movie. And then after they broke up, she was cut from the movie, and it was really dramatic. And her life's been sort of ruined. It didn't go the way she planned. So she confronts Emerson, and this really plucky reporter sort of steps in and interferes and helps her, and then they form this really kind of unlikely bond. And it's about Emerson kind of making a connection with Haley, the reporter who doesn't want to be a reporter, who wants to be a screenwriter, but she can't pay her bills, so she's taking all these sort of bitch assignments, and and she runs into Emerson, and she's kind of steps in and gets herself in a buttload of crap trouble because she really oversteps.
Oh honey, you can cuss on this, it's fine.
You get yourself in a lot of fucking trouble. And then she's not ready for it because she's not a celebrity, and she's not ready for that kind of attention or what happens with when that comes to light. And it's really interesting to see two different sides of the world and overlapping, and see how raw and isolating celebrity can be, and how everything is just magnified like 110%. And then to be like a normal person who steps into that world, and what that kind of shock value is like, and how different they are. So it's about the story of them meeting, and then kind of what happens when Emerson's secret gets out.
It's very good. It's very, very good. I personally think it's Fiona's best book, but that's just me. But I really liked Emerson.
You're good to my ego.
Well, it's really funny. I think it was definitely your funniest one. Tremont is also hilarious. He was a really funny secondary character. He's like such your stereotypical like best friend gay boy. I loved it. It's very good. I think, yeah.
I love that you used the word plucky.
I know. Because she totally is.
Underrated word.
Like Haley's totally quirky. Like I think, you know, when I write a book, I have one character who I think I identify more with, and one character who I think would be a good match for the primary character. In this book, Emerson was the start of the primary character, but Haley took over fast. She is plucky. Like she's she's feisty. Like she's like a little like rabid squirrel being held back by a long arm, you know? Like everything she does is very carnal. She's way more reactive, and you'd think that it would be more Emerson than it is, but Haley's actually the one she's never been in the public eye like this. She doesn't have a PR person. So her responses and reactions are very what we would do, you know? Very, you know, normal. And Emerson's very tapered and tempered, and you see that, and it's pretty funny.
But I think she also has like this really good kind of self-deprecating humor that isn't over the top, where you're just like, oh my God, you just feel sorry for yourself kind of thing. It's always well played and very funny. It's really good. And Emerson, yeah, you're pulling for her the whole time. You are. Because how she got herself into that little...
I have a crush on her big time.
It's kind of hard not to have a crush on Emerson. Although I think I prefer Haley. I do.
Because she's plucky.
Yeah, because she's plucky. Yeah.
Plucky ones are the best.
Well, I think she's more relatable, probably because she's not a celebrity, and you know, you're hoping it all works out for her. It's very, very good though. So we're gonna start out with some more mellow questions before we get into the kind of steamier ones, especially because one of our listeners, Lauren, called you the queen of steam in Lesfic. So we're
Maybe I should have started that.
Well,
there you go.
You can always sign off like that.
There you go. Emma, what made you start writing and what keeps you going?
Okay, so I can give you the long or the short answer. That's kind of up to you.
It's your hour.
So truthfully, I've been an artist, like an art person my whole life. So I was really into writing when I was younger. I played a lot of musical instruments. And then I decided that I wasn't going to be able to afford food. So I went into a career that was going to make me some money. And I sort of left that part of my past. And then I got really sick and I actually had to leave work. And I was sitting at home a lot. And I figured, well, this is the best time to write. So, you know, that's kind of where it came from. I went back to my roots. I started doing fan fiction a while ago and I kind of went back to it. And then I had all this time in my hands and I said, well, what do you want to get done, you know, in your life, depending how long or that short that is. So, and I said, I would really want to be published. And that was like something I'd written down when I was 12. And I said, well, let's fuck it. Whatever, just try and see how it goes. And then Mismatch came about quickly. I mean, I think I wrote that book in 4 months, with no training. So, I went through it 4 or 5 times before I sent it in. But yeah, it just came, I had a lot of time. I went from having no time to having a lot of time. And I think that's where I started writing. Now I'm back at work and it's harder to write, but it's okay.
Ain't that the truth, man?
So Bryn asks, what do you think is the hottest scene you've ever written and why?
So I think, you know, I always go back to my first scenes, I think. I think my most emotional and explicit sex, I actually think, is in Mismatch, because I think I had the most time to kind of cultivate those characters and kind of fall in love with them. And I think the hottest scene I ever wrote was the first scene where they have sex at Lucinda's house when Samantha's up against the dresser and she's seeing all the pictures in the room and she's starting to see a little bit more of what's behind, like, kind of the mask of Lucinda. And, you know, the pictures of her as a child and she makes her leave her shoes on. And I think that's probably my favorite scene that I've ever written. You know, get her naked but keep her in her heels. I think that's the most important thing that we do. Earrings came off. Earrings came off. I think that's maybe because it has such a deep emotional component. I've written a lot of gnarly, like, nasty, dirty sex. Like, that's going to come up, I'm sure, really soon. But when I think of that, that's the first one I thought of when you asked, is that one.
Is it hard for you to write sex scenes?
That makes sense.
No. So I use sex as a palate cleanser. So if I am stuck or I hit like a writer's block or I feel like I'm not like my tension's not really where I need it to be, then I will write a sex scene. Sometimes I'll write a sex scene for the characters I'm working on. Sometimes I write a sex scene for new characters I just thought of. But I, you know, refresh my palate with sex. Always.
Me too.
Do you mind having to read them out loud? Have you ever had to read them out loud?
So I don't know what, I don't know who I pissed off at Bold Strokes, but every time there's a Women's Week, I read on the erotica panel. And every time I read, Georgia Beers is the moderator. And if you've met Georgia, like, she's like really cool and collected. And I will go out of my way to read the dirtiest scene and make a lot of eye contact just to see if I can make her freak out. And she does a really good job. She's got a cute blush. But yeah, so I have to read it every year, at least at Women's Week. Yes.
You really don't know why you're on that panel every year? You know, that doesn't.
No idea.
You just said you use it as a palate cleanser.
It's like the easiest way to get reattached to, like, your character. Like, I know a lot of people, I deal with other people that I talk with, like, mostly of them say, well, oh, you know, I hate writing the sex scene. I'd rather write the story. Not the case with me. I love the story, and my story is going to bring me to sex, and I want to talk about that in detail. Like, because my sex scenes will go, like, a chapter. And some people
they're
do,
very
like,
long.
A page. More like, you know, 8,000 words of nudity. And then, I can't rush that stuff. It's important.
You're trying to paint a picture.
A naked picture.
A naked picture. Paint me like
with
one
the of heels
your
on.
Girls.
That's right.
Okay. So Victoria asks, when you're writing your hot and spicy sex scenes, do you need to take breaks for inspiration and or relief? Oh yeah, I'm taking it there.
I thought you were gonna warm up into the hot.
Well, there was apparently only they didn't skip ahead to the to the softer ones. Stacey's 5% is really kicking her ass, so
drunk already.
That wine cooler is dirty, girl.
Real dirty.
I never leave a scene when I'm writing a sex scene. I never leave it. So if I'm going to write it, I'm going to write it all the way through. I don't stop. I don't stop like mid-climax and be like, I'll get you later after groceries. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, if I know that I don't have time to write a sex scene, I don't write a sex scene. And if I know that I don't have time, but I'm about to write a sex scene, then I'll put a lot of foreplay in and then I'll leave before the act actually begins. So the short answer to that question is I don't walk away and I don't worry about the other stuff until I'm done.
Way to be.
And if it's a really good scene, then it's a quick after. So it's for me and for you, really. It's how it goes.
Man, look at that. It's a symbiotic relationship.
I'm a giver and a taker.
Well, you knew Allie's was coming, so I'd like to know what mood you have to set to start writing. Do you don some kind of corset, a pineapple shorts to put you in the right frame of mind? This inquiring mind needs to know.
I don't. I write.
You don't write in a corset?
I don't. I have a really big chest. If you haven't seen me recently, I can't imagine that I can put that in that and then still breathe. So and I value oxygen. It's a friend of mine. So I think that I don't do that. No. I do wear things that are very comfortable. I don't have pineapple shorts, but I know Allie does, and I'd love to get in them or at least see them. So I typically write in regular clothes. Like, I know some people write in pajamas or whatever, but I don't. I'm usually dressed. I'm fully dressed right now, as a matter of fact, for all those listeners.
It makes sense, though, because I, like, legit can't even record this podcast if I'm still in my work clothes. I'm like, I won't say anything funny. It doesn't work. Like, I need to have on, like, leggings and a t-shirt and a sports bra and, like,
same.
Be comfortable. Yep.
Sweats.
We're learning so much about each other.
I know.
That's stuff I've just never even thought to ask.
Friendship, guys. This is how friendships are built.
Yep. Carrie asks, will you be writing any more novels that use the characters from Mismatch?
I think you will always see a character from another book in a book I write. This one I just wrote has a character from Mismatch, and I have a new book coming out in the fall called Not Since You, and there's a couple of nods and Easter eggs in there to Mismatch. Samantha, if you've read Mismatch, Samantha and Lucinda are my two probably favorite people. Because I think they're mostly real people. So I have no trouble bringing them back into my life because they're in my life all the time. And they're fun. Samantha's a really fun person to write. So I think you will often see somebody pop back in some way, shape, or form.
When you put little Easter eggs and stuff like that in books, are you sort of paying homage to like your readers who read, you know, everything you write? Is that your sort of nod to...
Sometimes I try to make them obscure, although the last one, for Media Darling, I straight up put Mismatch in the
whenever since driving, yeah.
I straight up throw it in there just to see if I can get it in there. And so, yeah, I do sometimes, I'll do a couple, like this one that's coming, the new one, this one's really obscure, and this one's very blatant.
Okay,
so.
Awesome.
I like that. I think Stephen King does that too, doesn't he?
Please compare me to Stephen King.
Yeah.
You write better sex scenes than Stephen King.
I should hope so.
Yeah, his are real twisted. I'm
probably better at sex, too.
Probably.
Although I got to tell you, I was a little bummed to be left out of your sex talk. I listened to that. You guys have a conversation.
We're going to have to revisit that because that it got out of, mess. It went off the rails.
It went off the rails. And I feel like we didn't get to talk about stuff that we had planned on talking about at all because it was just all listener stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was we got so drunk too.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, because we started drinking early so that we wouldn't be embarrassed to answer the questions.
Yeah,
that was good.
That's not a problem I have. So next time, I'll get a sober one. And I'll guide you to where you need to go.
There you go. All that'll right. be better. Will there be a sequel of any kind to Media Darling?
I think that Media Darling has the potential to have a sequel. Do I have anything on the immediate future? No.
Come on.
What do you want to hear, Jackie? What do you want me to write about?
Kidding. We had three questions asking if Media Darling was going to have a sequel. So,
I mean, I think that the book I have coming out next year, not this fall, is going to definitely touch on some of the parts of Maine and some of the stuff that happens with Haley and like where she grew up. So you'll see some of that. But I don't know. know. I think that there's a lot to see because the book's still new. It just came out in November. So I'm still kind of just getting feedback from it now. So read it and then write into Jackie and then tell me what you think. And
yes.
I'll be happy to.
I will be handing all of Fiona's publicity from this point forward. Please send all inquiries, please forward to me.
Funny. So Lauren asks, it's no secret you're the queen of steam. Did you ask that already?
No.
No. I just know we've heard queen of steam.
Because
I was like,
we said it before. Yeah, we already said
right,
it.
Right, because that's who you are. You're the queen.
Were you drinking before you got on here? What'd you do?
I decided to be sad.
Last night. Guys, it's a lie. Somebody roofied this at Trader Joe's before I started drinking it. No, you know when you have deja vu moments, and the second I said queen of steam, I was like, oh my God, we already queen of steamed this.
That wasn't deja vu. We said it 10 minutes ago.
I know. Now I remember. Okay. So Lauren says, it's no secret that you're the queen of steam, obviously, in Lit Fic. So do you feel any pressure to keep upping the stakes with each novel? Do you put a lot of thought into making scenes different? And are you worried about repeating?
Well, that's a good question. I'll go backwards. I'm not worried about repeating because I think that each sex scene is character specific. And if I'm writing characters that are different enough from my past characters, then it's not a problem. Repetitiveness, I think that you have to get a little creative. There's only so many ways you can have sex. With that being said, in room service, I put a lot of the sex outside, which I think made it have a different layer to it, because not only are you just having sex with somebody, which is amazing, right? But you're also almost getting caught. Are you risking, you know, being seen? And there's that kind of voyeurishness that's really fantastic, I think, when you're first dating someone and everything's really exciting. So I don't worry about that. And I don't necessarily feel the need to keep dialing things up because, like I said, I use it as a palate cleanser. So if my sex starts to suck, then my books are going to suck because I use it to bring myself back. So I don't think so. This new book that's coming out in the fall, it's called Not Since You. And it's the first, it's a reunion romance. So like they were high school sweethearts.
I love reunion ones.
Oh, I know.
They were high school sweethearts and then they broke up. One girl was a lot more privileged than the other and her parents were sending her off to school with the condition that she had to leave her girlfriend and then, you know, whatever. So she ends up breaking up with this dream boat that's home, but she's a homer. And she's like a townie. And then 10 years later, the one that went off to school, Charlotte, she's like, she's supposed to be on her honeymoon. And then like a month before the wedding, she caught her fiance cheating, but she'd already paid for this whole cruise. So she's like, I'm not going to fucking lose all my money. I already lost my wedding.
Got a girl.
Good for her.
She goes on this cruise and it's like this all lesbian cruise and it drops off in Aruba and she's like going to the Caribbean and she's like, I'm going to go. It's going to be fine. It's my fucking money I paid for. I'm going. Which is all fine and good, except her ex-girlfriend, the one she broke up with, like her love that she let get away, is the head concierge VIP. So she's the VIP attendant. And because she paid all this money to have like the best vacation ever for her honeymoon, everything's in twos, everything's in double massages, two everything. And she walks in and she's like, I don't know if I can do this. This whole cruise is couples. I'm by myself. I'm on a honeymoon. I'm on a not honeymoon. And then in walks in her VIP attendant for the week, and it's her ex-girlfriend. And the hilarity ensues. Like, this book is ridiculous. But because they had a history, it made it different because they had already had a sexual relationship. They were teenage lovers, right? They were their firsts, okay? So now 10 years later, they're different people. They look different. Yeah. They are different. But they've already had that kind of spark once. So getting them back together was like, it was a party, okay? Because it was like, you know, a forest fire, which is a terrible analogy, but it was. It just took off, and then they just, that's how they are. So when they start actually connecting, it's a blaze in a way that's not in other books because they have to get to know each other. These girls already know each other, like, intimately. Yeah. So their sex is, like, ridiculous. I just got it back yesterday from the editor, and she was like, thumbs up, good job. And then she said the daring thing that my editor loves to say, and I love her to pieces. Ruth, you're my best. She actually said to me, I think you need to add more sex.
Wow. Did you ever think you
was she being ironic or?
No, she said that. Now, this is my sixth book. She has said that four times. four times she's told me to add more sex. If you have read my books, they are drenched in sex.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, so she told me to add more. So that's going to happen probably this week.
Before or after you go back to work?
I'm still on maternity leave. I'm supposed to go back on Monday. I have a client tomorrow. We'll see.
we did get a question for all of us, but before we get to that one, I'm gonna ask you one more. From, you knew Chris Bryant was gonna get in here, so she says you write all these creative places where your characters have sex. Where's the craziest place you've had sex?
The back of a Greyhound bus.
You didn't even have to think about that. Look at that, right there on top of it. Jesus.
I get this question a lot. So I will say, I'm going to give you a little behind the curtain.
You know, I'm going to make everybody answer this when she's done,
yeah,
right?
Good. Yeah. People ask me a lot about room service because there's a lot of outdoor sex in that book. Like, I don't want to give too much away, but it's outside. There's a lot of outside sex. And I catch a lot, I caught a little heat for it because people are like, that's unrealistic. And I just like, yeah, okay, thank you for your criticism, whatever. And so this book came out, I went and did some bold stroke stuff, doing some writing stuff. And somebody asked me, like, do you think that this is realistic? And I looked her stone in the face and said, I have done this all. It's fine.
here's one of the things that irks me when you hear, like, is this realistic? And it's like, pick up a nonfiction book that, like, what do you mean? Is it realistic enough? Like, I just don't, it's realistic because that's how I wrote it. And that's the world they live in. Like, don't read fiction if you don't want to read fiction.
Ugh. Yeah. Right. I mean, I get some parts, but yeah, that's true. Most of that's true. And the Greyhound bus thing is true. That's a true story.
What about you, Stacey? Where's the craziest place you've had sex?
Who are you asking?
Whichever one answers first.
Usually she says Stace. I'm Stace and she's Stacey.
I feel like nowhere crazy because I'm such a weird like germaphobe. But I did have I had a dream.
No, doesn't count. No, we're moving on. It doesn't.
I have a funny story. Listen to my dream. In my dream, the other person in this dream was trying to get stuff to happen inside Disneyland, and I was like, dare you? Like, you can do that kind of shit in California Adventures, but in Disneyland, there are rules. There's a certain level of decorum that needs to be observed in Disneyland, you monster.
Like, was it like a small world? Like, is that what we were talking about? Because, like...
Yeah, it was some kind of dark ride. I want to say it was, like, Snow White or Pinocchio or something like that, and just being like,
Pinocchio.
Walt worked on this himself. Like, I just could, blah, blah, blah. But
that was the most Stacey answer that I think we could have
gotten. No, seriously. You need to hit that cider harder.
As far as, like, crazy locations and stuff like that, I get so ickied out. Like a Greyhound bus, I'm like, I'm gonna get the herp alerps. There's a whole thing. Blah, 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 blah. But good for you.
I mean, girl, I wasn't licking the floor. I mean, my hands in my other places. But I mean, realistically, you know, you gotta sometimes go where the mood takes you. I will say it was the very back of the Greyhound bus. And there was a big long bench. And then there was a person that offered to join that didn't. But that was an interesting exchange.
Jesus.
That's weird. Yeah.
Tell us more.
You got to read her book.
Yeah.
It's in there. Stace, what about you?
Mine is not that exciting. It was a gas station bathroom off the freeway, but it was a very clean public bathroom. It was very nice. But the gas station was called Love's, and it has like a heart as the like little symbol on Love's, and it's a big sign. So now every time my husband goes past that gas station, he sends me a picture of the big Love sign. It's like,
yes,
and this was like, cute. This was like 12 years ago.
Did you give us the tame answer because your mom listens to this?
That's really the weirdest place.
Yeah, why are we boring?
Wait a second. Well, Stacey's mom listens to this and you're drinking Stacey's mom's beer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
I saw that one time in the front seat of the yellow truck, but I didn't want to tell you God. Because you bought that truck.
You told me the day I bought it from you, you asshole. You told me the day I bought it, and I was like,
"Yellow truck."
I did. Yeah.
Oh man.
We both did.
Yeah, this thing.
Did it in the front seat of the yellow truck, and then Jax bought the yellow truck. So my husband loved to tell her about, we christened it for you. So yeah.
I was in the Navy in Australia.
We sing the song.
On a on a picnic bench at a church.
During the day?
No. It was the middle of the night. Right on Christmas Day.
That's
where Jesus came from.
In my defense, the only thing that was open was the bar. So we had, I'm not even bullshitting you, we were having a shot contest, because what else do you do when you're 23 years old? And we had each taken like 24 shots throughout the course of the day. We were hammered. I had slivers in my back. It was terrible.
Are you sure it actually happened?
I'm positive it actually happened, because I had slivers in my back.
That's the part I'm not into. And let me just tell you, you know what doesn't sound appealing at all? The beach. Because you know what I'm not trying to clean sand out of? Anywhere.
Yep.
I feel like some of those water locations just are like a...
Stacey's still single, ladies and gentlemen, if anyone's interested.
If anybody wants to not have sex on the beach, go to a clean location.
Or anywhere with germs.
You look well. This is a girl for you.
And not Disneyland.
To be fair, your room looks really
California Adventure is okay.
Keeping your pants at Disney.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So Jessica sent this, and it says, for everyone. She said, my girlfriend's family isn't really big into holidays, i.e. birthdays. And because of that, she never does anything for my birthday. I go all out for hers because it's important for me to show her she's special. Not just one day a year, but I try to make her birthday extra special. It hurts my feelings that she doesn't do anything for me. I've told her that it hurts my feelings, and still, year after year, nothing. What am I supposed to do?
I feel like this was written for me because my husband is the exact same way.
He does better now.
He doesn't not get me anything at all now. So I think he is.
AKA the gift stuck.
So it's a step up from zero, and then it's one.
Yeah, right.
Or half.
I think he and Jax probably collude on that, and that's why he probably gets me presents now, but... I have the exact same problem, Jessica, if you're listening. My only advice is to not let it hinder you doing special things for her on her birthday. Just keep doing what you're doing. And eventually, I feel like after so much time, she's going to realize and be like, wow, like, I feel bad about this. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. It sucks every year, but... Mm-hmm. Enjoy the fact that your best friend probably gives you something. Your mom probably gives you something. Enjoy the other people making it a special day and power through.
You'll feel guilty eventually.
That's all I got, because I'm going through the same thing, girl.
No, but I feel like it's hard because, like, if you've already told her that it hurts your feelings when she doesn't do anything for you and she can't make an effort, to me, that's like, that's a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, so what I want to know is it like, okay, so my grandmother was 94 when she converted to be a Jehovah's Witness. And then she told us that she still wanted birthday presents. And I asked her why she bothered converting. And she said, because they spend time with her, which is a really sad story, but it's true. And so I said, well, do you want a birthday present? She's like, I'm 94 fucking years old. Yet that's a long time I've been on this earth. Like, yes, I want fucking presents. And I was like, all right, Nana, chill. Like, calm down. I got you something fucking great. Like, all right, calm down. So I don't know if it's like maybe something more like that. Or my question would be, is it just the birthdays? Or is it like anniversaries and like Valentine's Day and like Christmas?
Because as much as we make fun of the like love languages and stuff, there is something to be said for like if you're someone who really like receives love and feels important by like someone making gestures and stuff, and like that's important that that's how you're receiving
it. I think for me, like my spouse makes up for it in other ways. So it's just one of those things that's like, okay, everybody has pros and cons. Everybody has flaws and great things about them. Gift giving is my husband's biggest flaw. So if that's his biggest flaw, I have to accept that I will probably get one present and it'll be exactly what I wrote down and texted him and sent him and said, this is what I want for Christmas. Mm-hmm. My birthday's kind of hit or miss. It depends on if he talks to Dex that week or not. You know,
it sounds like you've been willing to make that concession of like, you just know that's kind of a deal. It sounds like she's still like really upset.
Right. But we don't know how long that this person has been with their girl.
Well, here's the other difference, so if it's only too.
Been like year two or three.
You're talking.
Hurt my feelings for years.
Yeah.
Like 10 at least.
That I was just going to say, you're also talking, that's your husband. Like you married him still knowing those things. This is her girlfriend. And if this is like a make or break for her.
Well, the fact that she's even asking, what should I do? Like you're not asking what you should do about it because you've already accepted that like you're going to be okay with that. And that's just the thing. And it's going to suck. Like, I don't know if that's where she's.
Right.
If she's asking.
If you asked me 3 years into my relationship, I would be like, you guys, this is so freaking hurtful. What am I supposed to do? Yeah. But it's taken me 10 years of seeing the good side to say, okay, this is just one of his flaws.
You so have an opportunity to buy yourself something extra nice and spend more money than you would have like, normally.
Honestly, focus on your best friend and your mom and whoever gives you really nice presents and just focus on that. If this person is doing everything else right in the relationship, if this is just one of many things that annoy you, okay, then maybe it's a deal breaker. But if this is the one thing that you're like, oh, they're otherwise perfect, then you'll get over it. It sucks, but you'll get over it.
Also, can I just say how cool it is to reach an age where you just like, you know, the older you get, you just stop giving fucks at all. To say you're going to convert to being a Jehovah's Witness, but buy me birthday presents is some badass stuff. Like that is a level of badassery that like we all need to aspire to.
Man, my Nana was a hard ass. She had 13 kids, all singles, no twins, and nine boys. And she was like 4'11" and all her kids were like 5'10" and bigger. And she used to get up on a chair with a frying pan to discipline them because the only way she could reach them. But she, with the birthday thing, like I could get her a birthday present, but I couldn't wrap it in birthday paper. So I had poinsettia paper year round just in case Nana needed a present.
That is great.
Right? That's awesome.
She was a badass. I mean, I don't know. So I guess, and this is, I'm married to a woman.
So what?
What? So
I think it's a little different in some regards, maybe not always, but my wife is really good about everything. She's really good about birthdays and anniversaries and
so
little,
is mine. Yeah.
Little things. And like, if I got a really good book review, I get a gift. If I got a really good report card when I was in school, I got something special. I mean, like, it's something that it's kind of entranced. Like, that's something I think is a little different because I think women are different. Yeah. And I think if I didn't celebrate her in the way that she celebrates me, I don't think that would work. And I think there's something so wonderful about that, to be able to celebrate somebody else you're in a relationship with, regardless of, you know, maybe your husband's a really good cook, Stacey. I don't know how things work for you, but like, I think that knowing that someone's watching for little things and paying attention to the details, I think is really important. So I don't necessarily need to go on a hot air balloon ride for every birthday. But she fucking took me over the Grand Canyon in the helicopter and took me to Britney Spears in Vegas.
Jesus.
Like, so fuck that. Right? Like, yeah, right? I was 30. So, like, that was my 30th birthday present.
No wonder you have no trouble writing sex scenes.
Yeah. I got a lot of romance in my life, girl. Don't worry about that. Yeah, right? Although I've heard you ripping on girls with long nails. We should talk about that. I think you're missing something.
Oh, no.
Oh, what?
No. I married a high femme. She's all long nails, like lots of makeup. She's a pretty girl. But I heard you shitting all over that the last 2 hours. I was a little worried.
I've never met a lesbian with long nails. Well, I guess I met your wife. I didn't pay any attention to her nails though, but
you got a mad ass manicure girl. Like, you know?
Oh no. I can't even imagine.
I mean, she's not like Jackie Joyner Kersee coming to the room. But I was never like, I know, I always hear that thing like lesbian going with first date, they put like nail clippers in their like whatever jeans or cargo pants, because that's what lesbians wear, right, when we go out or whatever. I missed that memo.
The only thing
shopping
I would add is I agree. I think it is different for girls. I agree with Fiona. Stacey, your husband is wonderful. He shows you in a lot of different ways that he cares about you. But I do think girls expect something. I don't know. I think we're just wired differently, especially when you enter into a relationship with another female. And we only have what we have to go off of here. I would say you're doing the right thing by telling her your feelings are actually hurt. That's way better than burying it and being resentful towards her and taking it out on her lighter.
But, like Stacey's advice.
But
that wasn't my advice.
But I don't know. I think if this is something that, like, if it is like a deal breaker for you, that's something that you should, you know, it doesn't even, like Fiona was saying, it doesn't have to be a hot air balloon ride, but, you know, making you breakfast on your birthday. She doesn't even have to buy you anything. Just going out of her way to show you that, yeah, hey, you were born today and that's important to me because you're important to me. So I'd like to celebrate the day that you were born because it's your own personal holiday. How cool is that? Yeah. Like, birthdays are cool. So I don't know. It depends. It obviously affects you enough that you're writing into us, but I don't know if that...
I feel like that right there is why I'm okay with my husband not doing anything for my birthday, is because my best friend says, it's your day. What are you doing? It's the day you were born.
It's one of my favorite days of the year.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, she makes up for it.
But I mean, if it's something that really does, if that's not how, if this is a person you're thinking about spending the rest of your life with, and you've told her, hey, this hurts my feelings. I don't feel important on this day. Like, I need you to do something about it. And she continues to blow that off. There's something else going on there that you need to take a better look at, because this has nothing to do with your birthday and more to do with she's not listening to your wants or needs. So examine the rest of your relationship and see if that holds up or if it's just this isolated incident like it is for Stacey. That's...
I'm going to send you a present on your birthday, Stacey.
All right. So I have a question for Fiona. This is going to be mine. What is your biggest pet peeve in lesfic?
I slurped there. slurping. Squelching noises. Queefing.
Queefing. The word moist.
Go ahead and put squelch right next to moist on words I hate.
And queef. Queef.
You know
that board game Quelch. That too. It's like a...
Are we gonna play that now? I'm ready. My biggest pet peeve. So I think that, and this is something that I think has gotten a little bit better, but I think the biggest thing that I have annoyance, and this is in all, you know, romance and fiction, mostly romance, straight or gay, doesn't matter. The misconnection, miscommunication, I think, is the biggest annoyance for me, because I think in maybe that was okay when we had a rotary phone and, like, if it wasn't quite on the cradle, it wasn't going to ring. You know what I mean? But there's nothing like that now. Like, you can't angrily hang up on someone. It just disconnects. Like, before you could slam the receiver down and make it known you were mad. Now you're just like, oh my God, I lost my signal, or I'm mad. You
don't know, I'm slamming my phone down.
Also, when your phone is $900.
Exactly. I'm delicately hitting end and putting this on top of the table.
Let's get my podcast on. You know, I think that that's the biggest thing. And I think that I hate that when a text could have fixed something, and I think that's one of the things that in Media Darling, that is kind of a point of contention for the main character, right? Because Haley, something happens and one of the characters just bolts. She just up and fucking uproots her shit and leaves. And I think that that's so unusual for, like, social media and for, like, how people are entrenched in things, that I think that can be shocking. And I think, you know, I think I did an okay job dealing with it because I wrote it. That's what I decided. But when it comes to, I just hate that. I hate that stupid, like, oh, I was going to get milk and then I stopped to get at the bar to get a drink, and then you thought I was cheating, but I was actually just cheating on you with Captain Jack and Mr. Morgan. You know, like, whatever. the miscommunication, like a phone call, a text, a screenshot, anything could have fixed, drives me bananas.
Unnecessary angst. Like, angst just for the sake of angst. Shit. Yeah.
Because it always comes back to communication.
Like, I think, expectations then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I communicate about your feelings. I want my birthday to be important. I'm sending Stacey a present. I'm going to talk to Jack about what you
want. There you go.
He didn't even text me last year. Did he do good?
No. That face says the ball was dropped. It was kicked across the street and it got hit by a car. That's what that face says.
But it's the little things, like when he just walks by and refills your wine glass when we're recording. Like,
he's a good guy.
Yeah. He does do that.
Yeah. All right. What's everyone obsessed with this, or what's everyone watching this week?
Okay, so I actually don't have a very good one because I haven't watched much, but we did just start the new Netflix show, Black Summer. It kept popping up and showing us the preview every time we turned Netflix on, so we decided to just watch a couple episodes. It's a zombie show, and it's, I feel like it's trying to take it outside of all the other normal zombie shows because the zombies are fast and they can climb fences and unlock doors, which I think is creepy. Yeah. And they didn't have a problem killing a kid in one of the first episodes. So I thought that was kind of outside the norm. So I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to watch a couple more episodes and then I'll let you know how it is. Cause I'm not really sure yet if it's going to be good or corny. So that's all I've been watching.
What about you, Stacey?
Okay. Oh, Game of Thrones.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
All the Game of Thrones.
2 minutes.
So good. No, it was great. I'm going to do real quick because it's kind of what I'm in a fantasy league and I fucking crushed this week. Two of my characters had big moments and Daenerys didn't come through for me like I thought she would. Like, I thought for sure, like, you get points if you have sex and you get extra points if it's with a blood relative. And I thought for sure she was going to have sex with Jon Snow, but it didn't happen on camera. So anyways, Game of Thrones, it was amazing. The second it was over, I just went... Because like, there's only 5 more left now forever. And so I like freaked out. So that was one of them. The other thing that I watched that I forgot how great it was because Emily put it on when we were done watching Game of Thrones was Veep.
Love Veep.
Like,
yeah.
Veep is great. And like, we watched like several episodes because that show was just amazing.
What is Veep? What?
Oh, okay. You have my HBO password. Watch Veep. It's very good.
It's got Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She plays the vice president. Like, it's so funny.
I have never even.
Oh, do
you have a butt plug in the background? What is that tweak and squeak?
And of course, it's her butt plug. Show her what it is. Show her what
it's not the butt plug. I don't have the butt plug.
Oh,
right now. Not a butt plug.
She 100% lets her dog play with a butt plug. Yes, she does. It has tassels on it and everything.
It's a Kong toy. It's a Kong toy with like things hanging out of it. But right now she's just squeaking a combination of this ice cream cone and a unicorn in my face.
Except.
But the Kong toy legit looks like a butt plug.
Yeah.
It's got things hanging off of it. How many butt plugs
it's
do you
like,
have?
It's a Kong. And then it's like got fabric.
It's like
inside,
anal like, beads, and it's a whole thing.
Sounds like a jellyfish for your ass, and I'm on board.
What are you watching this week, Fiona?
So I don't watch Game of Thrones. Don't kill me. I really like you. Don't kill me. But I do
don't watch it either.
Nope.
But I do watch Grey's Anatomy.
Oh.
Me too. Well, I haven't watched the newer ones. Never mind.
So I'm one episode behind tonight because I'm on the phone with you. So I watched Grey's and I have watched Grey's, funny story, since the first episode. Never missed one, never once. I started dating my wife 2 weeks before the mid-season premiere. So I have been with my wife since the beginning of Grey's. We watched the first episode together.
Aww.
And I'm just letting you know that I'm missing it tonight to be with you.
Good thing for DVR.
Oh, yeah. You know it. I can't watch things live anyway. I have kids, man.
Who wants to watch commercials?
Commercials. But I watch Grey's and Killing Eve, because who doesn't watch Killing Eve?
I haven't started yet, but I promise.
Oh my God,
I'm going
get first. On it.
Game of Thrones was
hey,
on.
You haven't gotten to my what I'm watching this week.
Killing Eve.
I missed Sunday. Don't tell me anything. I missed Sunday. I have a newborn, like a newborn. She's 2 weeks today. Like 2 weeks today. So I missed Killing Eve Sunday, but I will watch it tomorrow when she's napping.
I tried to watch I tried to watch. I started rewatching Game of Thrones because I have a bet with Stacey.
$4.01 I heard.
You're
I heard.
Watching it?
I'm trying again. I just Stace, don't I'm with you. I'm with care you about Stace. Them.
Your birthday, me, no Game of Thrones. We got this girl.
I'm just.
What's your sign?
She's a Cancer.
Hey, really? Me too.
So is my oh. son. Aww.
When's your birthday?
July 21st.
Oh, you're at the end of the line.
I barely.
It's okay. I accept you.
I love Cancers.
I love Pisces.
I know. You married one.
Yeah. And my best friend and my daughter.
Yeah.
Everybody's a Pisces.
Stacy's daughter and me have the same birthday.
The same day?
Same day.
Mm-hmm. I hope different years. She doesn't look old enough to be your mom.
I'm older than her, yeah. So
I have a Pisces and an Aries daughter, so take that.
Ooh. Oh, Aries, that's rough.
And I married a Libra. Watch out, kids.
I'm a Libra! Woo woo!
All right, when's your birthday, Stacey?
October 16th.
I like it. October 11th is my wife's birthday.
Nice.
Send her presents. She likes those. Shiny things. Expensive. Typically diamonds.
Whatever You're kidding. You we had no idea. About that, about Stacey. Yeah, she keeps it so well hidden. I married a Leo, which.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what my oldest daughter is.
She's you a Sagittarius.
Nice mom. Way to fucking drop Ooh. That ball.
Yeah, she's a Sagittarius.
Birthdays are important. What's my five? I'm gonna chase you out. I was busy that day.
December 13th.
Yeah, I don't know what.
I'm telling you.
I knew Kira's because you guys are all March, and so you're all Pisces, but I never really thought about Lexus.
Yeah, we're all water signs. So I'm trying to watch Game of Thrones again, but I've been trying to catch up. I fell really far behind because tiny human on Handmaid's Tale. So I'm trying to catch all the way up before the new season starts in June. And God damn, I just watch it. And I'm like, this is happening. Like, what the hell? This is real life. And it's kind of sad and kind of scary. Isn't and it? I kind of love yeah. it. Yeah. And every time I watch an episode, I kind of have a bigger and bigger crush on Elizabeth Moss. Uh-huh. So there's that.
I wish she just wasn't a Scientologist.
Right. I mean, there's that too. And the woman that plays Serena, I've always had a crush on her ever since she was in Chuck. Don't even get me started. So it's just like, I forgot how much I liked the show until I started trying to catch up before the next season started. So now I'm trying to like pace it out so that I'm like, I can end it and start the new one right away. So, and of course, Killing Eve, because it is the best show on television. And you guys, Stacey, you are missing the ball.
I'm going to.
So here's the thing, Stacey, like you have this on your side because the first season's 8 measly episodes. Mm-hmm. The second season's probably going to be 8. Measly episodes. Like that's a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you stretched it out, took a nap and had a sandwich.
Like, okay, right.
Like Game of Thrones is like 100 seasons. Every episode's 100 years.
Yeah.
Like, everyone fucking dies. Yeah.
Right. They all have sex with each other. There's exactly. like all this incest it's and animals join in. Like, I don't even know.
You get through the first 2 episodes of Killing Eve, you'll never put it down. You're like gonna live and breathe Killing Eve. And so then you're my Grey's girl, right? So like Sandra Oh.
She's so good.
My mom said that she started Killing Eve, and she said, "I swear on the podcast, Jack said that Sandra Oh is the bad guy." I'm so confused.
No, she's a good guy.
So, just to clarify, mom, she's a good guy.
Yeah,
Stacey's mom.
Stacey's mom, your beer is delicious.
When's your birthday?
Fiona's gonna send you a present.
Sandra was not the bad guy, but she's got a streak that's coming out. She's got a little
right. Right? This is okay. So, this is the best part about Killing Eve. And I know we talk about Killing Eve every week, so I'm going to keep it real short. The character development in this show is fantastic. Like, there's such an arc, and they transform so much. And it's like, you don't ever really know each week what to expect out of either one of them. and yet you're still pulling for them the whole time. And it doesn't feel right to be pulling for a sociopath, psychopath, serial killer. It doesn't feel right, but you are, because you just want the little version of her to be okay, because you know it's just a broken child in there. Like, it's so good. It's so good.
Don't call her that suck fest that she's giving you. Villanelle is amazing.
Oh, she is.
She's amazing. Like, I feel bad for her, kind of, but she's like great.
Yeah,
like the first episode of season two, I was like, yeah, good for you.
Oh my god, her in those pajamas was like my favorite thing that happened. Yeah, oh god, it's so good.
Smallest action figure pajamas. The foot, you know what it is, the Villanelle, the perfect example of who Villanelle is when she puts her feet in those shoes.
Yes, yes, that's
exactly who she is. She's a psychopathic killer. She's got no empathy. She's like soulless, but she also is really worried about foot fungus.
Yeah. Yes, all those little things just make the character development is so good.
I think she should have been nominated, though. I was kind of bummed that she didn't get included on the noms.
Yeah.
Because I think she does a good job. She's, like, crazy, but, like, really lovable. I think that's hard to do.
Yeah. How do you pull that off? Her in that fluffy pink whatever she was wearing, like, oh, so cute. So cute. All right. What's everyone obsessed with this week?
Okay, I have two, but they're quick. Number one. I wasn't on the last podcast because I had to attend. Spelling my bee. Daughter was in the, my oldest daughter was in the county spelling bee, and she won all of it.
Yay. So
she goes on to state.
Did you say again, you were present? Is there a gift? Did you have something engraved?
No, but yes. So that's super exciting because she conquered 42 other kids from all of the schools in the county. Super exciting. She actually did it last year, but she was, I think she came in second or third, but they still let her go to state because they took the top two or three because one of the girls couldn't go. It was a whole thing. But this year she was actually number one in the entire county, which was super exciting. But then the other thing I'm obsessed with is obviously, if you listen to the sex episode, is my goats, because they are 2 weeks overdue to have these damn babies. I'm out there for 2 hours a day watching them, timing these lame ass contractions that are not contractions because I
just
can't
gas.
Tell the difference.
They've got
gas. I can't.
How do you time a contraction on a goat? Can we just go backwards?
Exactly. It's just like a human. They breathe and they will stop and hold their breath for a certain amount of time. And you just time it. And so it's like when it's 3 minutes every time they hold their breath versus 2 minutes, you know, like a human. But because it's so freaking hot outside all of a sudden, they're panting and sweating. And so I can't tell if they're labor breathing or hot breathing because they're walking around going, because it's so hot. So
you can't tell if it's labor breathing or labored breathing.
So I think they're just fucking with me at this point. I don't know when the babies are coming. I'm going to stop checking on them, and then suddenly they're going to be there. So those are my two things.
You're going to miss it, though.
You know what? At this point, they're 2 weeks
overdue. If you knew how many hours she spent this week looking at goat vagina, you'd be...
Or how much time we've spent talking about goat vagina.
Pretty much.
It's obscene.
Yeah.
Yes. Lot of vaginas.
Stacey, what are you obsessed with?
Okay. I went and saw Falsettos on Friday, and holy shit. So Falsettos is one of those shows that, like, if you're not into musical theater, it's probably not the way to start. So it was part of my subscription, but I already wanted to see it. And it's just funny because all these old people were there and they didn't come back after the second act because not that it's not good, but just it's so it's
in the audience, right? Not like on the stage.
It takes place in 1979, and it's a story about this guy who leaves his wife for a man, and there's only like five people in the whole show, and then it's the last two of three one-act musicals, and so the first act is just the guy, his son, which this little kid, holy shit, was so amazing, because he does a lot, and it's very complicated. It's like an operetta. And this kid was amazing holding his own. So it's the guy and his son who's like, I don't know, that kid couldn't have been more than like 8 years old. His boyfriend, his soon-to-be ex-wife, his therapist, And then the second act, there's like the lesbians that live next door. So that's the whole thing. That's it. There's no ensemble. There's no nothing. And so it's basically a story. Their marriage dissolves and, you know, he leaves her for a man and her kind of trying to come to terms with that. But she really wasn't even that in love with him. And then she gets married to his psychiatrist. And then in the second act, they introduce like the lesbians next door and the kids having a bar mitzvah. So now it's a whole thing. But him and the boyfriend break up and whatever. So they finally get back together. And then it's basically one of the lesbians next door, which that's how like they sing about. It's so funny. They're like the two best characters in the whole show. And it's great. One of them's a doctor. So it's the sort of at the beginning of like the AIDS epidemic. So it turns out that like the boyfriend has AIDS and he's in the hospital and the kid decides he wants to have his bar mitzvah in the hospital so he can be there. And I was just a fucking mess the whole time. Like just crying. And like, it was so good. So I fangirled out super hard because the girl playing Trina, her name's Eden Espinoza, and I saw her in Wicked in 2005. So I was like 17 and so obsessed with her. And she's just like this amazing singer and she's totally great. And so earlier in the day, she had posted on Instagram, like, oh, it's the last two show day in San Francisco. Who's coming? And I commented on it because like, whatever, I wasn't doing anything. So I was like, oh, I'll be there. She liked my comment. And then put like two thumbs up next to it. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know she was on my comment. Like I instantly turned back into like 17-year-old me, like, Ines, but it was time to sign my playbill. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. She like commented, whatever. So so Broadway shows and all their national tours do this big fundraiser for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, where they'll like accept donations and they'll auction things off and whatever. So they'll send cast members out. Usually it's like ensemble members and they'll send them out with their little buckets, like standing in the lobby or whatever to collect money. And because there's no ensemble and there's only like seven people, we like come out of the bathroom and we're walking up and she's just standing there holding a bucket. And I was like, oh my God, I see the Espinoza. But I was super cool. I was like, oh my God, the show was amazing. Thank you.
You're so cool.
I inside, I was like, I'm asking her to take a picture. But I was like, no, don't do that. And so I didn't. But she like, She does the voices on the Tangled show and like she sings the magical fireworks song at Disneyland. And she was so fucking amazing in the show. And like I said, it's an operetta. So it's a little much for people who like aren't into that medium so much, but like the story is so powerful. Like, and it's super, super funny.
You're such a gay man
about it in the last like 3 months. Yeah.
Wait, so did you tell her about your dream about not having sex at Disney? She sings a song.
Can you sing that song? Because I promise.
I would never spoil that for you.
Maybe Downtown Disney. Probably.
I don't want to diminish it.
Probably Downtown Disney, but not Disneyland.
In ESPN zone for sure. All right. Fiona, what are you obsessed with? Were you done?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to rush you through this. Don't make the mind too mad.
Do you want to tell us about all of the acts in greater detail, or you good?
I personally enjoyed it in detail.
You want a reenactment?
Wait, can you sing for us? Are you going to sing?
Oh God, please don't sing.
There's so many words in this show. Oh, hold on. I will tell you. Just point whatever. You should Google it. The whole set starts and it's just a cube in the middle of the in the stage. And the cube is put together by just all these geometric shapes that they take apart throughout the show and make into like doorways and tables and chairs and all kinds of, it's fucking insane. Like the amount of words just in the libretto, like to begin with, like there's so many words and they sing so much the whole time. But then to also have to remember like the choreography and the choreography of moving these geometric shapes all over the place. Like,
I mean, you had me at Tetris. When you told me it was Tetris, I was
that's
sold.
Basically 100% what it is.
I was, they like, look like baby,
you know, like baby gymnastics equipment for like ones that aren't walking yet. That's like a little foam thing and then a foam. It's like that. And they made a whole fucking set out of it. So bravo. Now I'm done. Yes, now I'm done.
So I'm there.
Jesus Christ.
Like, need some geometry.
There were trapezoids.
Quadrilaterals. Did you see that?
All right. Oh, Fiona, what are you obsessed with?
So I'm a new mom. I'm another new mom. I have a 2-year-old and a 2-week-old. And
You're a new old mom.
I'm a new old school mom. Wait, that's not that taken. I'm the queen of steam. Get it together. So it's been kind of an interesting 2 weeks for me. But I will say I'm mildly obsessed with Killing Eve, but I find a lot of great joy in RuPaul's Drag Race. Can we talk about that?
Sure.
Does anyone watch that?
Yep.
Nope.
Nope.
Yep.
Wait a minute. You okay. make time for RuPaul Drag Race, that's but you haven't watched Killing away. Eve?
That's stay away, Jackie.
Shantae, you stay, girl. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because first of all, they have now incorporated on the Untucked as a second hour episode, which is not so worth it. Because in the past, it wasn't. It was just like the 1 hour. And then like, if you want to see behind the scenes, go someplace obscure. And fucking, I don't have fucking time for that. Treasure hunt bullshit nonsense. Like, I got shit to do. But if you're going to make a 2 hour thing where I need to watch the second half because there's shit happening, I'm going to watch it for sure. I love it. I love it because it's so campy and fun and it's just so playful and it's so great for the community and there's just such great diversity. I love that 99% of the people are people of color. I love that everyone is just so free and just their natural, genuine selves. I hate Silky Ganache. I just want to say that right now. Hate. Don't come for me, Silky. Please don't. But yeah, so I love RuPaul's Drag Race. I love it. I love everything about it. I love the pop culture. I love the meme. I love the language. Shantae, you stay everyone. Yeah. Now. Sashay away, bitch. I have no time for you.
It's hard not to be joyful when you watch that show.
You can't. I mean, so Tremont is RuPaul in Media Darling.
Okay.
With the fake eyelashes and the fucking makeup and this. I love RuPaul. So I don't have a lot of time to watch things. And when I do, I want to watch something fun and light and not about zombies that are fast.
My kids are grown.
Who needs that kind of stress? Now they can catch us? Like, my plan was always just to walk quickly.
Incest sex in Game of Thrones.
Listen, at first it's gross. But then...
No, don't finish that sentence. No. No.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Nope.
Trying to get you gross. In a relationship, this isn't helping anyone.
No. It's always gross. It's just that you grow to like understand where he's coming from because his sister is a fucking bitch and you get how he got wrapped up into that whole thing and you just want him to make better choices and not fuck his sister anymore.
Sure.
It's his sister? Oh, it's not like a first it's cousin.
His sister. It's his twin sister. And that's the first episode. But John and Daenerys, it's like she's a weird like aunt of his or something, but they never knew that.
You didn't say twins.
It's twins. They're twincesting a little.
That's real fucking gross. She's a fucking bitch. That's some flowers in the attic shit right there.
Like first cousins or like you married my dad and we're step siblings.
Yes. Right. No, theirs is not understandable. The like Jon Snow Daenerys thing, like that's understandable because she is his aunt, I guess technically. Which back then, that's just as much as like first cousins. Like that's not that weird. And they didn't grow up together, and they don't even know they're related. But like Jaime and Cersei are twins, and so that one's gross.
Uh huh.
So yeah, much I'm silence not, I'm on
not,
this.
I'm not, right. So Jax, what are you obsessed with?
Twinsex.
My drink is almost gone.
Oh man.
Yes, there's a word for it.
Well, you don't root for those two. You just root for him to get better.
No.
You will tell me if by the end of the series you're not rooting for Jaime Lannister.
You're going to owe me a $40 bottle of wine and I'm going to laugh all the way. Because
you know who you're going to root for him to be with? Fucking Brienne of Tarth. So mark my words when you're
Those words make no sense to me. Those words make no sense to me. All right. Well, I'm obsessed this week with the Mueller report. Because the first thing I read was Trump saying that his presidency was over and he was fucked. And that brought me a tremendous amount of joy. Even if it was said 2 years ago and it doesn't matter now, the fact that he had that. He has so few moments of clarity that when he has them, I just, especially when they're at his own expense and he has like he's such in his own narcissistic, like sociopathic world that when he catches this slight glimmer of reality that shines off of the Matrix, it just brings me so much fucking joy. Because I never thought it was physically possible to like hate someone that I didn't know. Cause I really don't hate anyone. Like I can't really think of anyone that I hate.
I hate him.
I loathe him. Like I have so much disdain for him as a human being that when I saw that, I was like, yeah, good. I hope you are stressing out. And I hope all of this is a show and you're just pandering and this is going to blow up in your face and you're going to go to jail. I don't care if it happens when he comes out of his presidency. I just want to see him in handcuffs.
I hope it does happen after.
Yes. Yeah, whatever. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm obsessed with that this week. And I'm obsessed with, I don't really like Easter. I think it's a zombie holiday. Like, what are you celebrating that your God was risen from the dead and came out 3 days?
Zombie? Like a fast zombie? Like, well, open doors?
Apparently he went all the way back up to heaven. Yeah. But I am kind of excited for seeing Lincoln at his first like egg hunt. That brings me a little bit of joy because I feel like I'm okay with like celebrating spring and like rebirth and like the start of a new season. That sits well with me. The idea of Easter.
What about peeps?
No, I hate peeps.
Ew.
Peeps. They're disgusting.
Peeps are gross. Disgusting.
But I have to say, it's kind of cute seeing you go through the things that I went through 15 years ago that you kind of teased me about or that you kind of
were like, 20.
Or didn't understand.
Right, but now...
You just mocked your life choices, Lisa. I'm just saying. If you came for your life choices, it's hard for...
But to be like... When we were 20, and you were like, you have to what? Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry. Or, like, to tease me about stuff, and now you're going through it, and I'm like, I know, right? It's so cute. It's super exciting to see you go through that phase of life.
I'm very attached to him. He's very cute. And he doesn't even have any idea that, like, it's coming. Like, he has no concept that, like, oh, he's going to get to crawl around on the grass and, like, put eggs in his, like, that doesn't. He's 10 months old. He doesn't know what's going to happen.
Egg. Who's hosting the hunt? Are you hosting the hunt?
No. We're doing it at a community one. So there'll be a bunch of, like, his grandparents all wanted to come and we didn't want to have it all. It's a whole thing, but we're doing it at, like, this community one so we can get out of there if it starts to suck or whatever. And so I'm looking forward to just getting to watch him crawl around and be excited. And I like watching him learn new things. It's like when I taught him to high five, it was like the highlight of my week. Because he doesn't understand that high five requires like emphasis, like he doesn't realize it's an exclamation point. So when
like
you say when you say high five, he just does like this, like, yes, I will put my hand in yours. Yes. So it's fun.
Give
learning
me your hand.
So I gotta tell you, this weekend I am hosting a toddler Easter.
Oh my gosh,
like a brand new baby.
Okay,
here's the deal. So my oldest girl's two, just turned two. And my wife ordered 200 plastic eggs online, and we have stocked them.
Are you hiding alcohol in them?
No, because they're toddlers. Get it together. Oh. I don't know what you're doing over there in the zombie apocalypse.
Toddlers are already drunk people, so they don't need alcohol.
Because they're all between like 1.5 and 3, basically what her plan is to stuff the eggs and just launch them into the yard like a waterfall and let them just go. Yeah. And that way each one gets like 20 eggs or whatever, and they just do their whole thing. And then I will be honest with you that may or may not, a bunny costume might have arrived today for me.
Can we come?
Girl.
What do you put in a plastic egg for a one-year-old?
So there is one stack has little plastic figurines that aren't chokeable. They're like kind of thick ones. And they're like little like, you know, hippo or like tiger or like whatever. Has little foam things, little eraser things. We're going to put some chocolate in, but nothing with peanuts because there's two of them for the analogy. And we're going to respect that because that's terrifying. And then, and then there's like stickers.
You're crushing this.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're crushing this mom thing, man.
This goes back to the conversation about birthdays, right? Like, holidays in this house are a fucking thing. Like, in my attic, because I now have an attic since we moved, all the holidays are color coded. Like, Easter is light blue, because obviously, Christmas is red and green bins, Halloween is orange bins with black lids, Valentine's Day is red. St. Patrick's Day is green. Don't even come for me because I'm ready.
I'm the same way. And people make fun of me and I'm like, if you don't have kids, you don't get to make fun.
My wife's the same way, and I love it.
I just had kids, and I've had these for like 10 years. But I just
I don't have kids. Every holiday.
My wife decorates for every holiday.
I hate Thanksgiving. I hate this.
Okay, I don't.
Like, I love it.
I don't.
Cornucopia out every year, girl. Don't come.
I hate the fucking family commitments. My wife decorates the shit out of our house for every holiday, and I give her shit about it, but I secretly love it.
Of course you do, because it's awesome. You do something to look forward to, because she got you an Easter basket present.
She did get me an Easter basket.
Right? I got an Easter outfit. I'm a fucking bunny.
Okay, we're adults, and we only get like a handful of cool things. And
so I'm left another. Stacey, I got you for your birthday.
Decorating for the holidays and seeing the kids' faces and them being excited about it for like 2 weeks and coming home with a little hand print turkeys and all that stuff is wholesome as fuck, and you have to like enjoy that.
I don't even give a shit about the kids. I don't care about the kids. When I walk up to a house or my house or whatever that's decorated, I'm like,
I mean, right? I might
love the shit out of Christmas decorations
for the bunny. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I will decorate for Christmas before Thanksgiving.
Okay, well, that's not okay.
Thanksgiving is garbage.
I will give you the day after. You want to go Black Friday hard and put up a Christmas tree? That's
okay,
fine.
I will say, I normally do. I decorate the day after Thanksgiving. This year I did it early because my dog's a little enthusiastic. And I had just gotten her, and she was only like 4 months old, and she got spayed and was on a sedative. And I thought, that's a great opportunity to put Christmas decorations up while she's sedated.
So it's basically like parenting with Benadryl is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You made the right decision.
How is everyone's drinks? I'm assuming good.
It's gone.
Almost gone.
The shaker's adios.
Your wine cooler's gone, Stacey?
Nearly.
Okay, are you gonna finish it right now though? Because I'd be really impressed.
Yeah, finish it. We'll wait.
Chug.
I didn't know where to be.
Oh, God, that's gonna leak. You're gonna have heartburn.
Wait, is it warm though?
Warm now, right? It's not even that warm. No, it's a cider. It's not a wine cooler. It's cider.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for joining us for another episode of the Weekly Wind Down. Oh, Fiona, do you want to tell people where they can find you if they're looking for you?
I'm everywhere. Please find me. I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram. I am on Facebook. I'm happy to chat with you. Come find me. I have my website, FionaRileyFiction.com. Twitter, I'm Fiona Riley Fic. And I'm always on Twitter, and I'm always posting ridiculous things. So please track me down. Same thing with Instagram, Facebook too. Let's be friends.
Well, until next week, when we will talk about the Mueller report, much to the new age old school moms. Yeah. She just rolled her eyes.
The political princess just made it was so good when we talked about that just now. It's so good. Like, you're missing out. I'm excited just to imagine what your face looks like.
One time we should air, like, we should actually air all the.
I know.
Because everyone's very expressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So until next
sometimes
week.
Sometimes there's a butt plug.
Oh.
Sometimes.
Inquiring minds want to know. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.